that was going to sell out and be big.
Yeah.
They said once they realized that they sold out the Sears Center so quick that they started talking a little bit like, well, are you guys going to do another one?
Like, oh, yeah, sure. We'll see how this works out.
See what happens.
Bum, bum, bum. Speaking of working out.
I work out.
Come snatch it. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's everyone doing?
I'm all right.
All right. We sort of have a plan for today.
Yes.
Yeah. Our first plan for the day is to talk about a list I found on the internet of the 10 best Bruce Willis movies.
Okay.
I don't know if there's rules they set for this. I was reading through the top portion of it. They didn't specify any rules. Obviously, I've gone through this and looked at the 10 individual movies they did. Nowhere in here did they specify if it's character versus movie. So, like, for example, like Die Hard is on the list. The
same character over like six different movies.
Yeah. So, like, I'm guessing, and really, the only ones you'd really want to say that he was really good in would be
one and three.
Two
wasn't bad.
Two wasn't by far not the worst of the movies.
It's definitely the
sophomore slump
Temple
of that
Doom
one.
Of the
Temple of Doom of it. Of the Joe's rating movies. System always around Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, like, but like two is still, like, if you said to somebody, hey, I'm going to watch the Die Hard movies, you're not upset about having to watch two.
Not at all.
Like, you're like, cool, you know, get through two.
Yeah.
Fucking, because three's amazing. Like, one's amazing. Three is amazing. And then they all fall down real bad after that. Yes. But two is like,
I'll get
comfortable being the third best Die Hard movie. Yep. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that even comes close to it behind it. But I don't want to set Die Hard off as one, because I like one and two so much that those are definitely two of his top 10 movies.
The thing about this list, though, is I think they're going off of more of Bruce Willis' top 10 Bruce Willis movies where he's a character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though, like, there's two movies on here, arguably he plays the same character in both those movies.
Yeah.
But they're not both John McClane's. And we'll get to that one in a minute. You can probably guess which one it is.
All right. Are we going through the list?
So I don't know if this is consisted of an actual order, like a 1 through 10.
It didn't seem like it.
But I'll start at the bottom of their list and we'll go up. Because I have a feeling looking at it, this is their 10 through 1.
Okay.
So their last one on this list, the first one we'll start with, is Death Becomes Her.
All right.
So Death Becomes Her, for the people who don't know, is a comedy. I'll say a dark comedy, air quotes. Starring Bruce Willis, Meryl Streep.
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn, I think they're pretty much the only main
people
that's
in
the it.
Main three.
And he plays a gentleman who was married to one of them, is now married to the other one, or another one. And one essentially comes for revenge, I guess you could really say. It's a fun, ridiculous movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone else in it. I'm spacing on.
I'm trying to find it right now. Give me a second.
And it, besides those three.
God damn, this movie is old.
Oh yeah,
it was
for
one
sure.
of his first ones.
Yeah,
was,
I forgot.
He did this before Die Hard, didn't he?
No.
This
came after Die Hard. This was a weird break from, because he was doing a lot of action-y stuff.
Well, he was coming off that show, though, too.
Yeah, I was thinking Moonlight. Because this was more of in his jokey, where he played more comedy roles.
92. Okay, I found it.
Was it 92?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Yeah, Meryl Streep, Bruce Willis, Goldie Hawn, Isabel Rossellini.
Isabel Rossellini, yeah, because she's the witch lady.
I'm sure. I don't recognize anybody else. Real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the main crew. Oh, I didn't realize that was a Robert Zemeckis movie.
It was.
This is an odd movie for Bruce Willis, because I think it's before he started taking himself too seriously.
Oh, for sure.
And he could be a fucking jokey, dumb character, because, like, his character is a fucking dumb idiot in this movie, but it's actually, he's funny in it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing to know that, like, later on he
kind of becomes an asshole.
It kind of becomes an asshole because, like, and he won't do roles like this because he was really funny. He is
bread and butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he so wants to distance himself so much from it, but.
But it was so good in some of these.
Lean into it, man. Movies. Lean into it.
And come on. The Return of Bruno?
Well, we shouldn't talk about that.
We shouldn't talk about that? Mike's no, Hudson Hawk? Come on, man.
Yeah, Hudson Hawk for show.
For sure. All right, what's because that was, what, number?
That's number 10.
Yeah, we had to kind of go through the whole list before we really give our thoughts on things deserve to be in there or not.
So here comes the other one where he essentially plays. I
think
plays...
it would deserve to be on there. I do think it's a very
good movie. It's in the running.
I believe it.
I think on there. If we
so
make.
So far.
Yeah, yeah. So far that's in the running.
All right. Number 9.
Number 9, The Last Boy Scout, which is arguably
a solid action movie.
I love this movie, but he basically plays John McClane.
Yeah.
Just if John McClane's life went a little different and he didn't become a super cop.
Yeah. And well,
his,
I mean,
his best friend and boss were banging his wife.
The majority of his movies, if it's an action movie, he's John McClane.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
But like this one, like, for sure.
What's the one where he played John McClane in the old days?
You know what Last Man Standing?
Yeah.
Not the Tim Allen TV too. Show, but the,
yeah.
the Western.
That was a good one.
The weird Western movie.
Right, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Last Boy Scout definitely deserves to be in the conversation for top 10. I have no issues with that one being there.
Yep. Number 8.
Looper.
All right, that,
that deserves to be there.
That's good.
Yep. Because he plays two roles in that.
Yeah.
The role that everyone thinks is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which always we really know is actually just young him.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that was Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Weird, right? I know. They so credit weird. Him as that. I'm like, well, I mean, he might have done the voice, but it was definitely obviously Bruce Willis back in the day. They just like actually have a time machine and tell us.
Real quick, my low-key, my favorite scene in that movie, and I can't remember the names correctly, but it's when he's trying to communicate with him as to where to meet up.
He's carving it into his arm.
He carves it into his arm, and he just has this scar. And it was like, was it Jessica or something? It was like a long name he carved in.
Yeah, it was the waitress's name.
For and then he when old Bruce Willis sits down, he's like, you know there's an alley that works here? And he's like, like he's just heavy side. I was like, oh, it's just a good little bit of like, old man, more clever than you, knowledge thing. I was like, God damn, that's a clever fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's true. Let's see. Number 7, Unbreakable.
No. I'm not really an authority to say it because I've seen it, but we talked about this before. I haven't seen it since, like, theaters. I remember it being good, but I also was young, and I don't... It was a long-ass time ago.
And you can't trust that, Mike.
Yeah, I can't trust that because
young and dumb.
Because I still think... A lot of bad movies are good that I won't rewatch because I don't want to change my mind.
Then our next one, number 6, is John McClane in Space, which is the Fifth Element.
Fifth Element deserves to be in that conversation for sure.
Yep.
Next up, we have 12 Monkeys.
Deserves to be there.
Bruce Willis in Time.
Couldn't tell you anything about that movie.
It's a time travel movie.
Okay.
Then we have The Sixth Sense.
I don't know, man. I know people are gonna want to put it in there. Movie's not that good.
We're not talking about Bruce Willis, though.
Yeah, I know, but you still gotta look at the quality of the movie. And I think if that movie didn't have the great twist at the end, I think people would be like, "Oh, that was a movie."
But do you think that now that you know the twist, it affects how good the movie is?
Yes, because that's a movie that came out at the right time before internet spoilers were at every corner. Mm-hmm. So you went there and you went on that. So it was made for that right time, but I don't think it has leg. Like rewatching that movie, it's not overtly clever.
There's no funny parts about it. There's nothing
dialogue's not even that good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's definitely not a bad movie, but it's not something it's not that has great any movie. Part that draws me to want to go back and see it.
And like there's no rewatchability factor to it to me. But I understand why, because at the time with that, it was like, I don't know, in my head, it was
Shyamalan's first movies.
Yeah. It was like that
first one. First one. Yeah.
That was his first one. Yeah.
First one.
And it kind of,
didn't he write like something really weird. That's not a Shyamalan movie. Like way earlier than that, though.
Might have, yeah.
Not like a right. Shyamalan style movie, but he had like another one before that. But anyway, like I don't know. It doesn't hold up well, but I kind of understand why people put it on that list. I don't think if I made a top 10 list, I probably wouldn't put Sixth Sense in it.
Okay. Next one.
Next up, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, for sure.
Pulp Fiction.
Snow. What number are we on, by the way?
It's number 3.
My only problem with that one is, like, yes, it is a movie that has Bruce Willis in it, but is it a Bruce Willis movie?
That one's tricky.
Or is it more of a Sam Jackson and...
This list, even though they say top 10 Bruce Willis movies, it's definitely top 10 Bruce Willis performances. Like, characters, I should say. Because
that, I wouldn't call him a main character.
Not at all. No. He's, I mean...
Well, but that's more of an ensemble, because he you think of Sam Jackson and John Travolta, but I think you just think of them first because their story is more compelling and more fun.
It was also, they're in more of them, though.
Yeah, they're in more of it, but it's not as much more. It's like...
It's way more than Bruce Willis, though.
But Bruce Willis has a healthy chunk of it, is what I'm saying. It's, I think that the other parts are more interesting than his part, except for the climax part for him, obviously, is... That was probably a poor choice of words.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I it's a great movie, though, and he does a good job in it.
Okay.
Number dose, Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, dude, that surprised me when this was on the list. I was like, what? I never seen this. I never wanted to see this. Nobody ever talked about this. Like, I didn't even really think of it as a... Bruce Willis movie when it was coming out. I was like, oh, Bruce Willis is in that.
Yes, I'll totally agree with that. But I, at the time, I knew that it had a lot of people really liked it. It says it was a really good movie. I just wouldn't have known that it was a Bruce Willis movie.
What's your thoughts on that movie? Is it good?
Yeah, it's a really good movie. All
right.
He plays a really interesting character. That's why it made this list. Even their description as I'm reading over right now. Because like I said, I haven't read any descriptions of these until just now. But even they even talk about it. They say they even quote as it more docile Willis because he does play a drastic. He plays a cop, which is hilarious because like it seems like typecasting. But the type of character he is way different than a John McClane or any of those other like you know Corbin Dallas type cops. Like he is
multi-pass.
Yeah, multi-pass. He is this like humdrum of a man in a way.
Well, it's not like he doesn't. Play that role. He's kind of had those broken down.
No, this version of it is way different than anything I think is way different than he's ever.
What about because when you explain that, I instantly go to 16 Blocks and I think of his character in that one. Is that
but no? No, 16 Blocks is more actiony.
Yeah, this is
than more his like, character is way more actiony than.
I just mean like his character. Like I know the movie's more actiony, but like his character being like a not really good at stuff character.
No, like this is okay. He's like this because he's basically a cop in a small town.
Yeah,
and so like he's like, it's way different than anything he's ever played. Really, okay. much like how Death Becomes Her is a much even his comedic roles. It's a lot different of a comedic role because he's that bumbling idiot versus like that you know comedic lead type thing. It's very similar to that in the way it's done. And of course, numero uno, if you couldn't guess by already, is Die Hard.
Yeah,
the vehicle that gave us. Not just John McClane, but Bruce Willis as a major motion picture star, action star in general. I mean, Moonlighting was good and all, but
Die Hard.
But Die Hard, you know what I mean?
Die Hard holds up as it's an all-time great.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things action where movies. It's other than like the references and like the time frame, which really don't take away from anything. It's one of those things where like you could show this movie to anybody who likes those type. I mean, if you showed someone who doesn't like action movies. Clearly, yeah. They're not going to like it. But someone who likes action movies, if they haven't seen this, you have to first off smack them and be like, well, you don't like action movies because apparently you've never seen the best one ever made. And the second greatest Christmas movie ever made. So, but yeah, so that's the list as they have it on here.
So off the top of your head, can you guys think of anything? And because instantly my head goes to like, well... Die Hard with a Vengeance needs to be on that list, but if they're doing the characters, but I'm just looking at it as a movie thing. If you tell me top 10 Bruce Willis movies, and I'm gonna go ahead and throw two different Die Hard movies in there. it's really hard to leave Die Hard with a Vengeance off that list.
Well, yeah, granted, that's why. I mean, if we did Bruce Willis movies as like it this states,
yeah,
I would almost argue that something like Pulp Fiction and Moonrise Kingdom would have to be dropped off of this list, because when you think straight up just Bruce Willis vehicles, neither of those are Bruce Willis vehicles, because the ensemble cast in both those movies. Not because he's not amazing in them, though the characters are fantastic, but he's not 90% of the movie.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean? I would almost say, if I remember correctly, Moonrise Kingdom, he's more in it than he is in Pulp Fiction. Because Pulp Fiction, he's really only in like essentially one vignette of the four that are in it.
I don't remember.
Four vignettes, right?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's four. But his is the largest chunk of, like Mike was saying, of those vignettes. His is the largest chunk because it does span over like essentially two different things: the escape from the boxing match, and of course the sex dungeon type thing. And of course, part of escape for the boxing match is the spoiler shooting of John Travolta's character into the shower. Well, he's just trying to make a Pop-Tart, bro. I mean, he's there to kill you, but also he's trying to make a Pop-Tart.
All right, so I'm just going to scroll through some of his movies. I'm going to leave off some of them because I think I know you guys pretty well. So I think I'll only mention the ones that are worth debating, if it's possible it's in the top 10. So we'll start at the Die Hard time frame. So you still got Die Hard 2, which I guess I know what we're talking about there. Hudson Hawk is a movie that I know.
That could be on that list, to be honest.
It could be. It's a goofy-ass movie, but it's fun. Death Becomes Her. Striking Distance, that was the one. That's not the one I was talking about. But Striking Distance is there. Nobody's Fool, which kind of, I mean, Bruce Willis is the second lead in that one. Die Hard with a Vengeance, obviously. There's Four Rooms, so if you're throwing out segmented movies and ensembles. Last Man Standing is another action one that I thought was pretty good that nobody really talks about. The Jackal, Armageddon, The Siege. I like Armageddon. Mercury Rising, I don't know.
Mercury Rising wasn't a bad movie.
The Whole Nine Yards.
I thought it was funny.
I liked Whole Nine Yards a lot. Yeah.
They're fun.
The Kid sucked. Bandit sucked. Hearts War? I don't really remember much about that, honestly.
It's a war movie.
Oh. Tears of the Sun? Another also war movie. Whole 10 Yards.
Tears of the Sun was a fantastic movie.
But here's, like, Sin City.
Spoiler, he dies at the end.
Like, Sin City's not on the list.
Sin City,
yeah. I mean, that's Sin another vignette movie, though.
But yeah, it's another one where he's in.
Yeah,
it.
But I mean, if you're throwing out Pulp Fiction,
yeah,
and you're obviously
have to throw that one.
Yeah, Hostage, Lucky Number 11.
I love Hostage. I love Hostage. Lucky Number 7.
Which one was
16
that one?
With Ben Foster, the kids take the his family hostage in the house, and he has to basically break in.
I don't think I've seen it.
He's a hostage negotiator, which is funny because his family gets held hostage.
16 time. Blocks. Don't really include that. Oh man, poor guy fell off in the later years. Red, the first Red movie first I thought Red was dope as fuck. Yeah,
really first Red's good. Really good.
Loopers on there.
Gorillaz move short video.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
So that's kind of the last of it. There's really nothing. You can't count Split. It was just a cameo.
We don't know about Glass yet.
We don't. Yeah, we don't know about Glass. I like Death Wish, the Death Wish remake, a lot.
Yeah. It was definitely fun.
I don't think it would crack my top 10, but it's a fun movie.
Not whatsoever.
But yeah, so there's a handful of movies on there. Like if you think Last Man Standing, you think of Red, you think of Lucky Number 11 or Hostage. Like, those are really good movies. I don't know. It's not a terrible list whatsoever. I don't have an argument for those movies. Like, I can't I understand why it's all considered a top 10 for the ones that I know about, but it's like, you're also leaving off some really, really good things.
Really good ones, yeah.
So it's tricky. So what's your favorite, because I think we all agree, Die Hard. So if you take out any of the Die Hard movies, what's your favorite Willis flick?
Ooh, favorite, like just Loaded favorite, Weapon favorite. One. Favorite?
Yeah.
Loaded Weapon 1.
That's a cameo.
He played John McClane.
Well, he kind of played more...
It just says man whose caravan is attacked.
Yeah, he played Mel Gibson's character. He played Riggs, really.
Essentially, yeah. But his credit is in the actual movie as John McClane. Really made me laugh. I mean, if we're going it, it's either going to be Hudson Hawk or Last Boy Scout for me, right after Die Hard.
Last Boy Scout's so good.
They're Die Hard and they're
Damon Wayans. I say this jokingly a lot, but Last Boy Scout is easily the best thing Damon Wayans has ever done.
Damon Wayans, Last Boy Scout, Major Payne.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know.
And like, I watched the first season Lethal Weapon. I thought it was good.
Yeah, fun. But that's a TV show, not a movie.
I honestly thought Joe was going to be quick to say Fifth Element.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Fifth Element right now. Yeah, Fifth Element.
Like that blue bitch, the tentacles.
Who doesn't?
The diva.
Dude, that voice. Oh my god.
And she had fucking giant things in her belly. You can tell.
I mean, that wasn't really supposed to be like a thing everyone knew about.
Right.
Well, I mean, they're there though.
Yeah.
And she was singing, and her belly was moving around a lot because she was, and you couldn't see him. So whatever she was doing,
right?
That and the chick in it. I just spaced on the girl's name in that movie, but she was so goddamn fantastic.
Mia Jovovich.
Yeah, man. Too bad. Is she the one that got stuck doing all those shitty Resident Evil movies?
She didn't get stuck doing them. She wanted to do them.
Well, they're paying her a lot, but
yeah, now she's wanting to do a Monster Hunter movie. Not wanting to, she is doing a Monster Hunter movie.
She's got a very weird and eclectic movie, like the roles that she takes.
Yeah,
she's very weird, but I enjoy her.
I hope someone like just forces her to do like a really good action movie. Like, hey, you can physically do all the action stuff. Everyone believes it. Do a good one. Do this good one over here. Like,
I want to say she has. Hasn't she?
I don't think she has.
You might be actually right.
I mean, she spent half of her career making Resident Evil movies, so there hasn't been a whole lot of time.
It's not a fucking far stretch of the imagination.
It made like five, dude.
Was it five?
I think it was six, wasn't it?
Well, okay, that's even worse.
He's like, you just actually made it worse for me. Mila Jovovich, let's see.
I'm trying to look where the last Resident Evil... Well, but then again, they stopped numbering them, and it looks like Afterlife was the last one. No, Retribution. Nope, sorry, the final chapter.
See?
So you have...
she has Hellboy. She's in Hellboy, the new one.
Yeah, she'll be in the new one.
Yeah. That's cool.
She's credited as Nimue the Blood Queen.
Yeah, she's the main protagonist.
Nice.
Antagonist, sorry, protagonist. That would be Hellboy.
I like how there's a movie that she's done in post-production called The Rookies. She plays a character named Bruce.
Yeah.
Now we just need Bruce Willis to do a movie
called
where his name is Mila. Let's see. So you have Resident Evil: The Final Chapter. You have Resident Evil: Retribution. You have Resident Evil: Afterlife. Resident Evil: Extinction, which is where I thought they would stop the movies. Resident Evil: Apocalypse, and Resident Evil. So six movies.
Jesus,
six movies. But you're right. That has taken up a very large chunk of her her career here.
I'm just scrolling through. I can't find anything that she's done that I really like outside of...
Outside of the Fifth Element?
Yeah. I'm scrolling, so give me a second.
I enjoyed Ultraviolet. Ultraviolet.
Violet. Ultraviolet, yeah.
Ultraviolet came out the same time as that Aeon Flux movie did with Charlize Theron.
Around the same time, yeah.
And it was one of those things where... I think more people was on board with Aeon Flux.
Oh, yeah, like,
trusted
sure.
it, but that one was really bad.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people just didn't watch Ultraviolet because of that.
There's definitely nothing that I see here outside of the Resident Evil movies and Fifth Element. I guess Three Musketeers, but...
That movie was fucking terrible.
But I mean that I can think of that that were in theaters that were like actively, I'm sure most of these were, but
they all were. He Got Game, I forgot she was in He Got Game, but that was a long time ago. Yeah. That was the first thing after Fifth Element.
Oh, she played Joan of Arc in the Messenger.
Yeah.
But that movie wasn't great. So.
She was in Cuffs.
Yeah, but she
Cody,
was.
Ugh. Cody loves Cuffs.
I don't think you're getting that correct.
No, Cody loves Zoolander too.
She shut your first horse Zoolander mouth. Too. You're a
yeah, but there's, it's weird because if you say, hey, do you like this chick? I'd be like, yeah, she's cool. But then like really you look at her movies, I'm like, I don't like any of her movies outside of like two or three.
She was in one episode of Married with Children.
Throwback.
Oh, wow. Yvette?
Yep.
Guns of Paradise? Huh.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
Oh, my God. I love that show.
I hope she's good in the new Hellboy movie. That'd be dope.
Oh, she'll be good.
Like I said, she's believable as an action star. Yep. It's just she kept doing those shitty fucking Resident Evil movies. It's like, I get that there's probably like cool action sequences in here, but like,
they're all garbage movies.
You could do so much better. Go fucking
the fourth be kind the wasn't female a bad movie, but taken. It wasn't an action movie. It was a weird like horror movie.
Kind so of in the vein of all six of the Resident Evil movies have grossed over $1.2 billion worldwide.
Oh, people love them.
It was like the action equivalent of the Saw movies towards the end. It was just like, we could pump these out for cheap, and we have a built-in audience.
Which is fucking terrible, because you shouldn't make those movies for cheap. Like, those movies need a budget, where, like, Saw movies, you could easily do those on a shoestring budget, because it's just people in a room with fucking terrible things that happen to them. You know, you don't need a whole lot of money to do it. You just need quality people to sell it, which, for the most part, they really had, because, like, they did a good job making those people look fucking like they died. And maybe they did, because some of those people I never saw again, so. Part snuff movie.
I didn't realize that she was actually in Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
She actually did voices.
Yep, oh yeah.
Nanny McPhee, Bachelor Contestant, and Megan Hipwell.
Yeah, it's pretty funny that she does shit in there. And she was on King of the Hill at one point too.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, for like an episode or two.
Well, I clicked on Monster Hunter that she has coming up just to see what the cast was.
Yep.
Cast is kind of cool because you got Ron Perlman in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Jaa's in it.
Yep.
And T.I. is in it.
Now, is this a Monster Hunter based off of the Japanese anime? Or not anime.
Video game?
Video game Monster Hunter? Okay.
Okay. But then it says director Paul W.S. Anderson. I'm like, all right, what's he's directed? So I click on him.
Well, you should know what he is, mate.
Yeah.
And then I look at his directing, it's like Resident Evil, Pompeii, Resident Evil, Three Musketeers, Resident Evil, Death Race, Drift, AVP, Resident Evil, Soldier, Event Horizon, Mortal Kombat. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is funny, because like, she was at one point married, or it might still be married to Paul W.S. Anderson.
I
think she still is.
Yeah, she might still be. I can't remember.
Tony Jaa's pretty dope, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He should be in more American movies.
Trying to get back to the bit. Yeah, she's still married to Paul W.S. Anderson. So one of the reasons you see her a lot in their movies come together is because they
come together. Come together.
Well, hopefully he's doing his job right.
Ayo.
I mean, at one point she was married to Luc Besson, who directed
Fifth Element.
So
should have stayed with him.
He wised up. She's like, I want to go do these Resident Evil movies. Like, get out, take off my stuff.
The first two like did really good numbers in the theater. Like, the first one was weird, but like people were like, oh, this is not bad. Like, people didn't universally hate
it. It's literally up until the end scene of that first one where it really loses you, because it's a terrible fucking guy in a rubber suit.
No.
The second one, people are like, okay, they probably learned from their mistakes.
No.
No, the entire movie they're chased by a guy in a rubber
big,
suit.
Big, weird guy.
Yeah, can't really move and has the fucking weird tentacle gun arm thing. The Nemesis, I believe, is actually what
that is. Those are the only two I saw. I don't think I saw anything after
that. Oh, they did not get better.
That's where
the special effects, got better.
And I saw those in theaters.
The scene in the first one where the laser was cutting the people up, I thought that was dope because I never played the game. I don't know if it's a direct reference from the game, but you had like laser go low. They like jumped over it and laser went high and they squat down underneath it. And then, like, moved in between two lasers. And then that one laser came and it just turned into a grid of lasers and just wiped that guy out in pieces.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how the lasers win. You can't get smaller than that.
Right.
And we're like, yeah, you can. Don't go.
Yeah. Just don't go.
Yeah. You shut off power somehow. Crazy fucking computer AI little girl who wants to just murder things.
But, yeah. So... Yeah, Bruce Willis, don't make a Resident Evil movie, I guess. Is what
but if you do, you have, story. To, you have to be called Mila in it.
Yep.
That's what Joe decided.
Yep.
New rules.
New rules.
Odd enough, she's doing a movie where he plays Bruce, so he has to do a movie where he's named Mila. That's just the rule. That's called a trade-off. Yeah, so that's for the top 10 Bruce Willis movies that he played a role in. Because the name of that list is
Yeah, that's correct. A misleading title.
I'm not even going over this whole the Alien franchise ranked list because it's fucking stupid.
Well, that one's pretty easy.
Well, they get it right for the most part.
Yeah, but you can't. There's no real...
Like, there's no arguments about it. The only problem is they're not...
You could switch one and two. I'm okay with that.
They're not correct on this. I should correct myself. Okay, let's
hit it real quick.
They're not correct. I'm about to get angry. So... I'll start at number one and go down. So they start with Alien.
Alien, okay.
Yep. Aliens.
Yep.
So far, so good. I'm okay with this.
Alien 3.
Yep, I'm okay with that.
This is where it goes off the rails. Resurrection.
No.
Clearly not better than,
clearly not
say,
better
like,
than
some of the newer
Prometheus
ones.
Prometheus or anything.
Wait, yeah. So you think Alien 3 is better than Prometheus? Are you counting that?
Yes. Yes. What I'm saying, he's saying so far that list is not bad.
Okay.
This is where I'm saying the list obviously.
Well, that's the first one I go, I don't know, Prometheus.
Yeah. But definitely, yeah, no. Well, but
going by what they're saying here is whether I'm saying, like, at that point, I can see what they're saying. So I'm okay with it being on their list at that point.
So Resurrection comes next, which is 4. Then Alien Covenant. Then Prometheus. Then AVP, Alien vs. Predator. Oh. And then Requiem.
What?
That's.
So that's their list. Like I said, once you got to Resurrection, the fact that that's higher than even the AVP movies,
right?
That's when you lose. Like, 3 shouldn't have been 3. It should have been Alien, Aliens, and again, I'll let you swap those ones if you like the action versus the horror. Then it should go, to me, it should go Covenant. Then it should go Prometheus. And then the rest of this you can just fucking crap with because... They're all garbage. But I would definitely put both AVP movies above Resurrection, because Resurrection's fucking garbage.
Well, that Resurrection is above...
All right, I'll say it's above Requiem for sure, because Requiem is by far the worst thing they've done, to me at least. AVP Requiem, is if you were confused on what Requiem was.
I really want to watch some Alien movies now.
I have almost all of them.
I have all of them, too.
I believe I have all of them as well.
I would definitely... drop the AVP stuff off. It's not. They're not. I don't even count. They're not even Alien movies. They're more Predator movies than anything.
Oh yeah, especially the last one.
Yeah. So we'll just cut those ones off for me right then and there.
Amputate them.
I like going Alien and then Aliens and keeping it that way, just because you get the feeling of what the alien is, and then you get the satisfaction. Of sending in the larger force to take on the alien, because it's always
them almost losing.
To me, that's always what you want. You get the first one, you get the this is the monster, this is what the fucked up thing that we're dealing with.
This is the threat.
And always in those movies, you're like those types of horror movies. You're like, yeah, this is the threat. You know, why don't they send in the Marines? Why don't they send in blah blah blah?
I mean, they do.
Okay, so we did
space
Marines. Yeah, bitch.
So they did. And this is what happened.
They did not win.
They didn't realize there's way more aliens.
Barely win.
Yeah. I would consider they don't win.
Yeah,
she gets away.
She escapes.
But I'll safely say I guarantee they don't go back to that place. They're like, no, no, that now belongs to them.
I'm trying to. Nope, they went back. I wish I could have.
Yeah, dummies.
Been a part of like realizing that franchise as an adult. Going with it, you know what I mean? Like being on that, because again, we were talking about this earlier, like with me with the Rocky movies. Mm-hmm. Like they were all there when I became old enough, and I knew I knew what they were already. Like I don't really remember watching them in order and being familiar with them, but that would have been such a fun 1-2 hit. Like if you didn't know what they were, to watch the first one and go right into the second one, it's got to be such a cool, mm-hmm. you know. Different movie, but still all the right ingredients, and it's maybe one of the best sequels of all time.
Yeah,
it's the best. Agree. It's the best
direct
1-2 punch.
Yeah,
like the best. Like if you were to say, hey, what are a sequel, like a original and a sequel movie, you could easily put together all the time. Like it'd be better than most. I would easily say
one. Yeah,
that and Terminator 1 and 2 were like. Those ones you can't really. Yeah. You can't.
I think we're in the minority on Terminator 1, though. A lot of people didn't like Terminator 1.
And those people
like
Terminator 1. Because Terminator 1.
Yeah, but if you talk to. No, we're sci-fi fans.
We're smart. Too.
And people look at Terminator 2 and they're like, that's a great action movie. I'm like, yes. Terminator 1 was this great sci-fi monster movie.
Yes. And that
you know?
That also falls into that the same thing with Aliens, where you set up the monster in it. With the Terminator, and you're like, oh my god, this thing is terrifying, this thing is nonstop, it's going to get there to kill you, your only protection is this other squishy dude from the future.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, you find out that John Connor is his son in fucked up time travel world land. But then when you move into the second movie, and you get the introduction of the Terminator again, and you're like, oh my god, they sent a fucking another one to kill him? And then they throw you through a loop there. He's the good one.
Yeah. So and then like the new one is fucking a liquid metal guy.
Just a murder machine. Take on more so than the first one.
Because you also have that same thought of like, well, from the first one, well, what if the Resistance didn't send a robot back to protect John Connor? They did.
See, that's another one. I wish
enemies.
I wish I had seen those ones fresh.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I wish I'd seen because I know for a fact I was very very familiar with Terminator 2 before I knew what Terminator 1 was.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw Terminator 1, I was confused. I was like, "What? Why is Arnold Schwarzenegger the bad guy?" Because at this point, you know,
you knew him as the good guy.
Yeah, and I was knew, but yeah, that would have been a fun one too to be able to see fresh going in and not knowing anything about it.
Dude, the scene where you're still not quite sure whether he's the good guy or the bad guy.
With the roses?
With the roses, and it goes into slow motion as he's pulling out the lever action shotgun. Yeah. And then he just starts unloading.
One, I know people kind of make jokes, but like, if your main character, like their badass guy, is wearing all black with a leather jacket, it just looks cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to look cool. Doesn't matter what time frame it is.
He falls in that anti-hero.
Yeah, like, that will never... As long as the jacket doesn't get weird and frail-y and everything, that will always... That's a timeless, cool look.
Yeah.
Like, you can make him...
Holes,
like,
he's fucking...
Yeah.
Like 45 when he holds it up.
Yeah. But as long as your character looks like that, no matter what time frame your movie is, he's going to maintain saying, cool, I think that's part of the reason. Could you imagine if he was in some real goofy fucking... 80s, late 80s outfit or something. You're like, watching it now.
It takes place in the
70s. Or if it was like a red... do you imagine a red leather jacket? And you're like...
with one shiny glove?
Ugh, how terrible. Or zippers. Like leather jacket with all zippers on one side.
Random zippers all over the place.
That don't even open.
Yeah. It would have been so terrible. But it maintains. And then, yeah, dude, a fucking lever action. Like, you twirl around a lever action with one hand and hit shit. That shit's going to look cool forever.
A, it's fucking rad. Yeah. B, and it's rip your really fucking
hard.
Hand off.
Yeah. Really fucking hard. Yeah, it's just really cool, though.
Definitely like that. But jumping back to the Alien movies, for me, I think I would then do Prometheus, because at least you start to answer questions that you have. You don't get everything, obviously. I don't want everything, because once you start explaining everything, it kind of loses a little bit of its luster.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, you know, finding out that the man behind the curtain is just some dude, you know, named Oz. Not a big
giant spoiler alert, man.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
That the oldest spoiler.
I've not got a random chance to see it.
I don't think we're gonna be able to beat that either. Like, I don't.
Pretty sure you saw Oz the Great and Powerful. So.
Wait, that's connected.
That was a prequel.
Son of a bitch. Watched them out of order.
Yeah, you did.
I done terminated myself.
And then you have Covenant. Because you start to find out more where the aliens come from.
How fucked up that is.
The end of the Covenant, ones. Too?
Yeah.
You know it happened, but you didn't want it to happen. You're like, oh, fuck, it happened.
Right.
And then, yeah, I was like, ugh. And then that bitch has to go have a nightmare about that for 100 years or whatever until she wakes up again, and then she probably
knowing he's going to come over and look at her like a fucking creep.
And that was the worst part about those two movies versus the original ones, because in every single one, you have the strong female lead. But at least with the first two, she always made it out by the skin of her teeth, by just her street smarts and whatnot.
Gusto.
Her gusto.
Grit and grind.
But in the new movies, yeah, she got out, but she's fucked in the end.
Oh, she is fucked.
She got out.
Do we have words on when that next one's getting made? Is that?
I think it pretty much got canceled because Covenant didn't do too well.
Nobody likes sci-fi movies unless it's like a... well established.
Not even then. Then they shit on them too.
Well, yeah, but at least those ones make money.
Well, yeah. It's because they like dark sci-fi movies are a hard sell because people. It's like super, like especially the fucking alien movies because they're super depressing. Like Alien, where, like, aliens Netflix
needs to come in and save that shit. Just say, hey,
like, they probably could. They're like, hold on, shake definitely. Out a couch cushion and.
Yo, fucking... Neil, what you doing? You want to make some movies, some TV movies for us?
Remember how excited we were when we thought that was a thing, and then it just stopped being a thing?
Yeah. Suddenly, like, hey, news about it. Hey, it's not happening.
Well, but then it was like the cock tease of, like, no, we're going to let Homeboy do Covenant, and then one more, and then I'm going to jump in and make, like, the direct prequel to Alien.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll wait a couple more years to get that one more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, no, none of them are going to happen because we hate everybody.
But now he's in RoboCop.
I mean, I've seen RoboCop a few times. I'm trying to complete this fucking loop on this story. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I want to complete the story. I want to know where these things come from, what the hell happened, and blah, blah, blah.
And I want to see an alien take out Newt's whole family.
Like, Jesus Christ.
But how cool would that be as a movie?
That was one of the most savage things you've ever said out loud, and I thought it was me that said it.
But tell me how fucking satisfying.
Did, so they actually did a book. Blood River. Well, it was
I read a weird
alien. That's what you're saying.
No, weird alien.
I shouldn't even.
It wasn't canon, but it was fun.
I shouldn't say it was even a book. It was a Audible does these, and for some reason they attached. They're like super attached to the Alien franchise. They do these full productions for things, and one of them is Aliens.
Radio plays,
essentially, and they did that.
Yeah.
They did. I'm trying to remember what it was called, like Blood River or something like that. And so, yeah, they explained from beginning to basically when the Marines showed up what happened to Hadley's Hope.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. It was pretty cool. It was pretty good. It felt a little compacted down because it was only a 2-hour listen, I think it was. It was something like 2 hours.
Hmm.
So there was definitely a lot of, like, I wish this was expanded out more, and there was characters I didn't really give a shit about. But it was good, and you literally got to know why Newt's family went out there, why the fuck they took their kids with them, which made no goddamn sense at all from the movies.
There's so many.
I'm just saying, like, in a satisfying. But movie scene would be getting right to that point. It'd be like that last, not the last Star Wars, but that one Star Wars movie where it ends with Vader going into that
Rogue One.
Ends with Vader, and it literally ends with Leia getting the message, recording the message. Yes. You're like, yes, this is exactly.
And you want that? Yes.
Yeah, you get right up to right before that next movie fucking starts.
Is it River of Pain?
River of Pain. That's what it
okay.
is. Okay. But that's how. But that's essentially how River of Pain was.
Before. Are those ones official canon?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
So there's Alien Covenant Origins, There's Alien Covenant. So Book Zero is Alien Covenant Origins. There's Alien Covenant, Alien Out of the Shadows.
Which was a really good one.
River of Pain, Sea of Sorrows.
Haven't gotten to it.
Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection.
Well, there's
8 of them.
Oh, so there's books, novelizations of the movies are also...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much for the set? Does it have a set?
No. They'll vary in price if you do the audio ones. Anywhere from about $21, $25 for Alien Covenant. Oh, $25 for Origins. Wow, how long is... Oh, Origins is... Okay. Covenant Origins is actually 8 hours and 31 minutes long. Is it, I thought it was going to be one of those like short ones.
But is that one that is attached to a book?
Yeah, it's literally a prequel to...
But it's a book plus Whisper Sing, mm-hmm. is what I'm asking. Because there were a couple in there that I think that are just
audible. Like productions.
Well, this I'm looking at the Audible list right now.
You're looking at the Audible list?
Okay. I could look at the Amazon one, too.
Okay, I thought there were a couple in there that were just Audible productions. I don't know. But they're really good productions because they're actual productions. You know, like you hear the alien making noise or... you hear like the fucking old timey, futuristic old timey doors opening and stuff. You know, like all the classic sounds from the movies.
It's a good noise.
Yeah,
futuristic old timey doors. The way you said it has made me laugh because
but you know exactly.
It's like what it's in the future, but these are old doors. Yeah. There's a book, that offers Whisper Sync.
Okay,
the book is $6.99 on sale. Normally $7.99, so $1 savings.
If you also buy it with Whisper Sync.
But with Whisper Sync, adding Whisper Sync is $7.49, technically cheaper, way cheaper, by the way, than buying just the audiobook, because that's $25.
Which is what I always love doing. Like, even if you just listen to the audio section of it,
you save yourself money. You
save yourself money by buying the book, the digital book, and the audiobook.
It's a really good book and I can't stop reading it.
I remember getting a Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones audiobooks, because they're like 30 something hours long, are like $40-$50, but if you purchased it with the ebook, which was like $12 at the time, it like discounted the Audible book down to like $12. So it was like you're saving shit tons of money doing that way, even if you just do one or the other, which case I don't know why you would do the other. Anyway,
I'm gonna read them. Have you read all those Alien ones?
No, I haven't gotten to them all yet. I like to space things and come back.
Yeah. When I get this thing in my head where I'm like, I want to do all of this. Like, I'm the same way with movies. It's like, I'm going to watch all this shit. I have a hard time.
I wish I could be like that.
But you need like a refresher.
Because it would be nice to have like have all that stuff fresh in my mind. Like, I know I just started reading the second book to Space Team. And Space Team... the first one was amazing, but there's obviously characters I've forgotten, littler, smaller character roles that I've forgotten about.
Because you're a few months.
Reading the second one here. But I don't like to do them all together because then I end up with the Expanse syndrome where you get to the end of it and you're like, I want more. Okay, we'll see you next year.
And they're like, fuck you.
I don't want to do that. But to finish out my alien list here.
Sorry, I keep sidetracking you.
No, that's fine.
You're garbage.
We all keep sidetracking. I literally went down 3 or 4 different tracks on my own. This thing is Alien 3. I don't think people give it enough props for being a good movie. To me, with the exception of the horseshoed ending or beginning, it was a very good movie.
Yeah, the beginning is like
it was trying to get back to the original movie where you just had one alien running around murdering people, killing people, and they're just trying to survive it.
Killing asses and eating faces.
But it was so shitty the fact that you lost Newt and you lost Hicks.
Yeah. Because they didn't want to come back.
No.
It wasn't
because the guy who played Hicks, I don't remember his name, wanted to come back, and I'm pretty sure they probably could have got the little girl who played Newt to come back.
She didn't do nothing.
But it was
Hicks was Reese, right? Kyle Reese.
He was. Yeah, wasn't he?
That's where they got him from.
There's more connections, man. They should have looped that fucking shit together.
Make an alien Terminator, and what was the other one?
I thought you said hybrid. I was like, oh no,
Alien Terminator Predator. They could have. They could have fucking done it. So many routes already built in. They could have. Cody, you could have just fucking. You're a writer. You could have just made that shit work.
Yeah, I could have.
Yeah,
they didn't call me
very easily too.
Shane Black didn't. Hey, Cody, come fix this. I'm like, well, okay, again.
That's what threw a lot of people off on the third one, I think, is because you had these two characters that you cared about from the last one.
Yes.
And they like instantly, it's like instantly first killed them all. 5 minutes, right? Like it's right away.
Yeah, it's right away because you find out that her ship crash lands on this prison planet. Oh, it crash landed because an alien facehugger got somehow aboard their escape ship and impregnated Sigourney and somehow caused the ship to crash, killing Hicks and also
they're not good drivers. Newt.
Yeah,
but not her somehow.
So she's the only one that survives.
So if you take that part out of it, and you're like the dumb.
If you take out of that, so like think if I think of it like this: if you take that part out of it, and you put this before Aliens, where she has just the worst fucking luck ever, where she survives the first one only to find out that she didn't really survive and she ends up crashing on the prison planet. Of course, I think you could change the fact that she dies at the end of it so that you can do Aliens.
Yeah,
you can't tell me that that wouldn't be that's be a point. Fantastic trilogy.
It's been a while since I watched part three, so I have to go back.
You can't tell me that that couldn't be a fantastic trilogy right there. But then everything after that is garbage. It needs to go away. It needs to be burned in fires.
Yeah. It's a bummer because Ron Perlman's in one after that. I like Ron Perlman.
It is. And his character in that, I will admit, is actually pretty fun because it is basically Ron Perlman just chewing through scenery and
as Ron Perlman does.
Ron Perlman's best, you know.
Michael Bane? Is his name?
Bane, yeah.
That's Kyle Reese / Hicks.
And a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
How awesome would it have been?
He was also in The Rock.
If the Predator movie ended with him walking in and he's the one that ends up wearing the suit,
that would have been
fine. Even if the suit did look like shit, that would have been cool if it was him.
Yeah, because it was him.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, they linked him.
But it's his, it's like, it's Hicks's great, 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 great grandson.
Yeah, obviously, like, yeah, we have to be a far relative.
Yeah.
Well, those take place in the future, and this is not. So it's this is his great-great-great-great-grandfather. Also, Kyrese is like great-great-great-granduncle or something.
Yeah. Well, it's a time split you have.
Yeah. He fucked one lady in this time frame and then fucked another, and then, like, this is Terminator time frame, this is Aliens time frame, and, like, obviously this stops real quick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, murderous alien or murderous robots, and then, of course, murderous aliens. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. He's fucked
face no got burned. Like, I'm dead.
His family line is fucked
no matter what.
Yeah.
He ain't long for this world. Why is it? I don't see. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Newt's Game of Thrones. By the way, if you want to buy the ebook / Whispers Inc. ebook itself, great price right now at $6.99.
Oh yeah,
terrific. Normally it's $9.99, so it's on sale for $3 off. But the Whispers Inc. add on is only $12.99. So if you do that quick math, real quick. You're literally at $20, where if you buy the audiobook, it's $31.50.
Yeah, it's still fucking expensive.
$20, $31.50. Yeah.
Yeah.
Math.
$11.50 savings, and you get to read and listen.
Yep.
And the listening.
And the listening is fantastic because What's-His-Name does a very, very good job, with the exception of the one thing that still irritates the fuck out of me. And I actually
that he's dead now. That
there's the fact that he's dead now, but the fact that and this comes up in another series that I want to ask Cody about it. But for Game of Thrones, it's Peter and Petyr.
Yeah. It switches halfway through.
But it's like, which is the real?
I would think Petyr would be the right name because the way it's spelled.
Right.
Because it's definitely not spelled Peter.
No, but he kept referring to him as Peter. So when you watch the show and his name was Petyr, I was like, who the fuck is Peter?
Who is right? Well, that's the same thing as, like, fucking the Expanse audiobooks is the when they switched the word Gimble for Jimble.
I didn't even notice that, but people tend to do that all the time. Cool, you know, it's just a weird colloquialism. No, but what I'm getting at is obviously you've read now The Witcher.
Yep.
And you listen to the audiobook.
Yep.
So I would like to know, who are the main characters from the book? What are their names?
Geralt.
And?
Yennefer.
And?
Ciri.
And? You're missing a character that...
Roach?
No, that's the horse.
It's a character?
He's a character.
He's not true. A character? You fucking monster.
No, but no,
there's... Oh, you're talking about Dandelion?
Dandelion.
Yeah. Okay. The audiobook is Dandelion. And the games, it's Dandelion.
No, in the
book. Oh, I'm sorry, the book is Dandelion.
Dandelion.
And the game is Dandelion. Yeah.
It was... It is so frustrating because I
read
it's
spelled Dandelion.
Yeah.
But they pronounce it Dandelion.
In the books, they always pronounce it Dandelion. Yeah. And it just, for some reason, feels right for that series.
Yeah, because you see Geralt and Yennefer and Ciri. Dandelion sounds correct.
Sounds correct. And then I started playing the game and they're like, Dandelion. Oh, we need to go find Dandelion. And I'm like, who the fuck is Dandelion?
And then you see he's the only bard in the entire fucking game. You're like, Motherfucker. Yeah, I did the same thing when I started, because I played the games first.
Yes.
And I'm so used to Dandelion, which is a terrible name to give to a man.
Yeah.
But then it's like Dandelion, and I was like, Oh, he's the bard.
But it's the name is so much better pronounced.
I even had to I'm driving, listening to the audiobook. I had to open up my phone, look at it, and see him say Dandelion. I'm like, do they not know how to pronounce Dandelion, or is that intended how he wants his name said?
Yeah.
Which could be either, because it's a translation, and Dandelion just might be a mis... Like, they might just spell Dandelion the way they do, which, unfortunately, just happens to be the same way we spell Dandelion here in the States.
Right.
So, going from the Polish translation to English, they're like, well, that's just clearly Dandelion.
Yeah.
So we'll just say Dandelion. But then the audiobooks are Dandelion. It's Dandelion. I'm like, oh, God. But yeah, in Expanse, it really bothers me because the first three or four books, they call them gimbals, which is the right way to say a gimbal.
Yeah.
Then later on in the books, they say gimbal. And I'm like, did you spell it with a fucking J? Because it's not a gimbal. It's a gimbal. It didn't fucking change GIF. Mike just gave me the desk there.
Done. I'm done.
I'm fucking done.
Done with you.
Speaking of things that are fucking done,
comes naturally.
We are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody, and as usual, thanks for listening. And you fucks just came naturally,
abruptly, apparently.
Yeah, well, you know, fuck them. They don't pay for it.